Blog Talk Radio.
Show back. Good afternoon where you are, Gregory. How are you today?
Good afternoon. Happy New Year. Oh, I'm doing better. How about you?
Pretty good. How's that cold of yours? I know you weren't feeling very well.
Yeah, pretty much everyone in my family was fighting something over the holidays. I think I'm back to about 90-95%. So I'm getting there.
Right. That's where I need you. Because I'm at about 60%. So.
No.
If that, with this damn elbow, but you know what, we're all right. We're going to be just fine. So, dude, you know, we made a little personal bet for Pride between us, and you're Ohio State.
Yeah, how'd that go, Tracy?
Well, your Ohio State Buckeyes, they're out. I mean, we just said who was going to win between us, who was going to win, and your guys are out, you know, but my pick's still in. So technically, even if Alabama loses, I still win because I made it to the finals. Do you think about that?
I think your logic is it's
flawed.
You're giving it a good try, but it's lacking in some areas. Because your overall record is, what, 25-15, mine was 27-13. So last time I checked, 27 is greater than 25. Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
You say my Buckeyes. You say my Buckeyes. I'm not even from Ohio. I'm from Nebraska originally. So.
I know.
And I have family in Michigan.
I'm like calling you a homer, even though you aren't.
No.
Yeah, so what did you end up in the pool we did? Second?
Tie for first, second via the tiebreaker. Yep.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, you had to get that tied for first in there.
Mm-hmm.
But
you won second
place money, though. Did I tie for third but came in fourth?
No.
Or did I come in at a flat fourth? I came in fourth.
I think you're in a flat fourth, yeah.
I don't care.
Such a shame.
I'm still going to beat you in the championship game when we've just had our little talk about who was going to win. I mean, Alabama is Alabama is like having an NFL team in college sports. I don't see any way Clemson's going to beat them. But then again, I didn't see how.
But then again, you are an SEC homer. You talk about homers. You're an SEC homer. And
yes,
the SEC in the bowl season is 6-6. SEC is 6-6 in bowl games. The ACC is 8-3.
Blah,
and on the season,
because look at who they play. We have to play each other in the SEC. And, I mean.
During the course of the season, the ACC is 8-4 against the SEC.
This year, my man. Okay.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, we were talking about this year. We're not talking about past years.
Ooh, you are calling me out, and I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
you're actually getting in the smack talk today. I know.
I'm fighting back. It's my New Year's resolution for 2017 to be better smack talker. For two engagements more often.
That's my boy. Yeah, you know, I mean, in case listeners don't know, I went to an SEC school, so I am a homer when it comes to SEC, and Craig makes so much fun of me because, did I pick 11 of my 12 SEC teams?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I picked 11 of 12 SEC teams. To win.
You did pick Oklahoma over Auburn, which you got right, so that's good.
Yes, I knew Auburn wasn't going to win. This wasn't their year. I mean, they had their moments, but I mean, there have been times I've picked all SEC to win. I don't know. I'm a homer. I admit it. I mean, even my team with a losing record of 5-7. Won a bowl game, and even after winning the bowl game, they're 6-7, and they're a bowl game winner, and I love it. I love it. So,
yeah, congrats to your Bulldogs.
thank you. So, what game stood out to you? I didn't watch as many bowl games as I normally do. It just seemed weird this year for me. I don't know. Maybe it's because
When I was growing up, my dad and I used to have a tradition of just sitting at home. He gets some snacks from the grocery store, and we just veg out and watch football all day on New Year's.
Yeah.
And when the BCS came about and the playoff system, it just seems like the bowl games on New Year's Day just seem to dwindle from like 8 or 9 to 4 or 5, and then I think there were 0 bowl games on New Year's Day because it was on a Sunday, and so they had 16 NFL games. And so I just didn't really feel like New Year's this year to me. NFL games, I kept having to remind myself, oh yeah, today's New Year's Day, isn't it? And then there were 4 on January 2nd, and just I don't know, it seemed kind of weird.
Yeah, New Year's Day is when we'll just make horrible foods that we shouldn't eat and sit around and watch games. And it just didn't have the feel of it this year. And I don't even know if I'm going to watch the Nashville Championship. I mean, It's not really like I care for anybody, and because I mean, while I pick Alabama, I can't stand their coach. Sorry to Alabama.
I don't think anybody can. I'm his wife.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I just can't do it. And, I mean, you know, he's okay. I mean, he's a good coach, but I think he's an asshole, too. So.
He's a great coach, but, yeah, he doesn't come across as the most personal individual in the world. That's
right.
Pretty nice,
I mean, he's going to go down as one of the best in history when it's all said. But he's an asshole.
No question. Yes.
But, you know, the assholes seem to win. You know, the Steve Superior, as I like to call him, and other people like that. I mean, they all tend to win. So, I don't know. Maybe there's something about that.
And let's help break that cycle.
Yeah. Let's talk. I mean, what are you thinking about the NFL playoffs as they pan out?
Well, back to your former question, the two bowl games that stood out to me, with one question at a time, Tracy, please. Two games that stood out to me were probably the Rose Bowl and, well, Ohio State getting creamed by Clemson. I'll go with the latter game first.
Those are the two I would pick.
I'll go with the latter first because, I mean,
perfect.
Ohio State was actually favored in the game. Clemson's ranked second, Ohio State third. Ohio State was favored in the game by, I think it was a point and a half at game time. And Urban Meyer, he was 10-2 in bowl games entering. And a lot of people, I mean, I'm surrounded by Ohio State homers, certainly, but a lot of people on ESPN, analysts, supposedly unbiased analysts, they're all leaning toward Ohio State, mainly because of their coach, Urban Meyer. And in all his years coaching, Urban Meyer had never been shut out in a game before, never.
Right.
And yet, when Clemson was up 10-0, they were -2 in turnovers. They had two passes intercepted fairly early in the game. Yet they were still up two scores, 10-0. And I was with family, and I kind of looked over and I said, you know what, I hate to say this, but Clemson just looks like the better team. And they proved it in every facet of the game, and they just pounded Ohio State in every area. 31-0, it probably could have been worse than that. And then I was not shocked Clemson won, but I was pretty surprised they won that handily.
Yeah. And to people that are just turning in, no, you are not listening to ESPN SportsCenter. Craig and I like to talk about things that we like on occasion, and we both love football, and it's an exciting type of year in football. But we do have a lot to talk about. But I want to ask you real quick. Out of everything coming out of the NFL, I mean, we could talk about the NFL for 30 minutes, so let's not even dive into it because we've got some really important stuff to talk about today. But who are you favoring, you know, this far in advance for Super Bowl?
Well, barring injuries, AFC, I don't want to say this, but I definitely lean toward the Patriots.
Yeah,
potential sleeper team. I would say possibly Kansas City. I want to say Pittsburgh, but the defense makes me nervous. Kansas City is a fairly balanced team on both sides of the ball. So if anyone can,
a lot
give
of
Patriots,
people are saying Kansas City. Is
if anyone can give the Patriots troubles, then I'd say it might be Kansas City, but I still lean toward the Patriots to make the Super Bowl. NFC, I'm not so sure about. That's kind of a I really have no idea. I mean, Dallas, they have the best record at the end of the regular season, and Seattle has a lot of playoff experience. But Dallas's youth just kind of makes me nervous. In Seattle, I don't know, they just haven't been playing very well of late. And so if I had to pick a team, I might go with Green Bay in the NFC. So right now I'm going with the
really?
Patriots and Packers. Yeah, that's kind of my surprise pick, but that's
I am going – And no, it's not because of what you think. I'm going with Cowboys and Chiefs.
Really?
Yes, I am a little bit of a homer with the Cowboys. Because, no, that's
Dak
not my
Prescott.
Favorite team. We all know I'm a Saints fan. But we also know where I went to school. And Dak Prescott is our quarterback from my alma mater. And so... I even bought a Dallas jersey. I have a Prescott jersey. But I swore when he was drafted, I don't care where he played, and like the one team I wouldn't want to buy a jersey of, I now have. But I support Dak, and it would be a dream come true to see that young man. A lot of people don't know his background and his story, and I encourage people to read about him and, you know, look up what he's done in his life. And it's so inspiring where he's come from, where he is now. And, you know, you just can't help it but like the young man. And I'm definitely pulling for him. You know, I just haven't seen a strong team in the NFC. Except for Dallas. I mean, Packers, they do step up come playoff time. So that's a good pick on your part.
Thank you very much. Well, they've won six straight, I think. And a lot of times like the New York Giants, both times they won the Super Bowl in the past, 10 years. They didn't have a great overall record, but they got hot at the right time and it carried them to a Super Bowl victory.
Right. It'll be interesting to see. I would like to switch gears. I want to talk to our listeners, our followers on Twitter. Oh my God, last night. So I guess about 5 o'clock. You know, I've been talking a lot, as have you, you know, and we've talked about it on the show, about the importance of why the ACA needs to stay. And I put out this tweet last night, and people just started retweeting. People started letting me know what was happening. Next thing I know, I decided I would tag a bunch of people and see if they would retweet it. Like, you know, a lot of people, I mean, some that were friends of mine, but then also, you know, some people that maybe have several million followers. Rosie O'Donnell retweeted our show's post about the ACA and how to contact Paul Ryan. And we were already getting so much, you know, traffic coming in through Twitter. And then when she did that, it was like, holy crap. To sum it up, as far as how many of you, as of right now, because, you know, you can check the tweets and stuff. It hasn't even been 24 hours, and we have gone over the 500,000 mark of impressions with that tweet. You know, that people have seen it, and we can only hope that 10% even called. Listeners were, you know, messaging me last night or just tweeting at me saying, hey, we can't get through. And I'm like, you know, And other people would chime in and say, I got through on the third or fourth time. And it kept rolling and rolling. And one of our listeners kept dialing from about 8 o'clock last night to 2:30 this morning and finally got through. And I think it was because of us. Truly, I mean, it's 500,000 impressions on that one tweet alone. Dang. I mean, and then other people are tweeting the information out, too. I mean, you know, I've seen a lot of, you know, like people like Joan Walsh, Joy Reid. I mean, a lot of people have been posting that information out. And so I hope we broke his phone. and just real quick. So so you guys know, if you want to grab a pen and pencil, I'm going to give you some numbers. And I've also posted numbers, emails, and one of our listeners, I'm sorry, I don't have your name in front of me, sent one that had like five different ways to contact his office. So, you know, look on our show's Twitter page for that. But, you know, you can call his Washington office. And this is the one where people had trouble getting in. 202-225-0600. Again, that's 202-225-0600. You know, I had to listen to it because I wanted to see how he twisted it. And of course, oh my God! I mean, did you listen to it, Craig? The whole propaganda.
No.
I mean, if you don't want to listen to that, you're like, as soon as that comes on, press two, and then press one, and that. I mean, I know you. I mean, I hope you all can trust us, and that we tell you that doing that will, you know, put that number one is, you know, that you support the ACA. And you don't have to listen to the dribble.
Yeah, I started listening, but I just couldn't do it. So
I listened to it, and I was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
And then, you know, my wife called too, but I'm like, just hit 2-1. And that's what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, she was like, oh, I can't listen to this shit.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
But Senator Ryan's Janesville, Wisconsin office, which, you know, is his hometown, you can also call that number. These two numbers seem to be the biggest ones. And that number is 08-752-4050. Again, 608-752-4050. And now that the show has started, I'm going to unpin. You know, I usually pin when the show is starting. I'm going to pin that information on our wall in just a second. So you'll have the numbers right there for a little while today. And I've been reposting the shit out of it. I'm not gonna lie. I'm so glad we can cuss on internet radio. Isn't it great?
F and A, Tracy.
What? Fucking A?
Yeah.
I actually had to say that word for my friend Chris, who is listening right now, because I have found my psychic twin. And her and her wife, they're also known as the Gady Bunch. They're coming on the show next Friday, and they're freaking hilarious. Chris and I have so much in common. It is scary. I mean, I truly feel like I have found, like, long-lost twin, even though I think we're, like, 10 years apart, 9 years apart. But yeah,
so you're not identical twins. Okay.
Right,
I got you.
Right. She came out a little late, but yeah, you know, we both love the F word, and so I was like, I've got to get that in today, so you know, you said it, so I did. But anyway, you know, it's been so amazing. You know, people often talk to both of us, you know, saying that, you know, I'm not an activist like you guys are. And it's like, yeah, you are. We started a little mini revolution last night. I mean, you don't understand it. We get to see the statistics on you know, on Twitter and, you know, over 500,000 interactions just with this one tweet. That's huge, guys. I mean, and you did that. You did that. We didn't do it. We just got the tweet out there. And we had help with all of you. And, I mean, sure, Rosie helped. And, you know, with her getting the tweet out there, but a lot of you retweeted, and we are all the same. You know, we are no better than you guys are. And, well, Craig may be. But,
thanks,
you know, I mean, it's doing things like this. I mean, just getting down in the nitty-gritty. You know, you don't have to, you know, a lot of you can't get out and march. I mean, due to, you know, maybe a disability or, you know, for because of your work situation, you may not be able to do things like that. And that's okay. You don't, we need everybody just doing, you know, some people are just going to do social media and, you know, think of the biggest way people communicate these days, social media. So if you're out there tweeting about these things, you're doing a great job. You know, it's not, I mean, Craig and I, honestly, I mean, we are just two people who care so much about changes in this world that, you know, I started this radio show by myself simply out of the fact I was sick and tired. The state I live in, even though I live in a very blue city, the state is red, and as is Craig. And so the state I live in with my wife, and then also the state I was born in, we're both having these anti-gay measures, basically, you know, using religion to discriminate against our community. And, you know, I was like, if I get 50 people to listen to this show, I'm cool. I mean, you know, that's great, you know. And this thing, you know, has just snowballed. And Craig and I are so happy, but we are not big enough that, I mean, people saw me last night. It was, even with this broken elbow, I was responding to everybody last night. I think I responded to just, I may have missed a couple of people, but if you were tweeting me, I'm tweeting you back, or I'm retweeting you. I'm doing something, because I'm no better than you. It's, you know, and neither is Craig. Craig came in, what, a couple of months maybe after I started the show, and we decided we wanted to partner up, and it's just been amazing. I mean, if you listen to some of my first shows, oh my Lord. I mean, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not a radio star, you know. And you know, we want to change the world. We want the world to have more love, less hate. That was what I based starting the show with from the beginning. And, you know, I mean, now we have 37, almost 37 and a half followers as of this morning. And that
37 and a half thousand.
Yeah, 37.5, yeah.
You said 37 and a half thing. Okay. Well, okay, that's not that many.
Oh, shit. Oh, I'm on a roll, man. but anyway, it's all been because of you guys. And, I mean, we've been talking about the resistance and creating a revolution. You can do that on social media. Speak out to your friends that preach hate. You can stand up for the little guy, little gal. You know, I've just been blown away by our listeners. What do you, you know, I'm gonna let you talk since I've kind of hogged it. You know, what are your thoughts on this? And we'll definitely talk some more about the ACA itself.
Not just every little bit helps, whether it be an email or a tweet or going out and marching. I know we all have some time constraints, whether it be work or family or what have you, and not all of us can devote as much time as we'd like to certain causes, but like I said, every little bit helps, even if it's just you know, 5 seconds of your time to make a phone call or post a tweet. And I think sometimes a lot of people kind of feel overwhelmed by the lack of time they have to devote to the causes they believe in. And so I don't know, they kind of just perhaps unintentionally push it off to the side and just think there's really no point to say they don't feel that, like, they can do much. But I mean, if you really, you look at this tweet and other such movements and revolutions, if you want to call them that, I mean, we can all make a difference, no matter how small it might seem at the time, if we all go out there and
damn right,
fight together, stand together, fight with one another, then we can make a difference.
Yep. And what do you think about our listeners, though, and our followers on Twitter? I mean, 500,000 impressions?
Yeah. That's hard to believe.
Crazy town.
Yeah, I know. I'm still trying to come to terms with it.
I know, me too. I mean, we've had a lot of, I mean, we average, I don't look at the numbers that much, but, I mean, well, sometimes you can't help it because they show it to you right there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but I just knew last night that we were having a lot of interactions, a lot of, you know, just positive things going on. Yeah, we had 6 or 7 Trump trolls. Probably had more.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I didn't pay attention, and the few that I did pay attention to, you know, it was great. I just retweeted what they said, and our and our listeners, oh man, they were awesome with the zingers with the Trump trolls last night. Congrats to every single one of you. You did your job well. But yeah, I mean,
standing back, I think it shows how important the issue of the ACA is, just healthcare in general, and I think that's great, because, I mean, this isn't just an issue like, I don't know, raising taxes by 0.076%, I mean, which might affect a small percentage of people in the country. This is an issue which impacts everybody. This is not to paint things in a black or white manner. I don't like doing that, but it really is a life or death matter. It's health. It's healthcare. Over 20 million people have received health insurance because of the Affordable Care Act, myself included. And we're being threatened to have that healthcare taken away from us again. And, I mean, a lot of people with lower income families, those with pre-existing conditions like myself, and kids, perhaps below, under the age of 26, they're all being threatened to have their health insurance taken from them. And this might not be us personally. We might not have a pre-existing condition or be lower class, but I'm almost everybody knows somebody like that. And so, I mean, it either directly or indirectly impacts all of us. And I think that's really telling to have 500,000 interactions with regard to this tweet concerning healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people on the right side of the spectrum, they like to bastardize the term Obamacare and kind of scapegoat it for rising premium costs and this and that. And yet they really have trouble seeing the positive impacts that this healthcare law has made on millions of people's lives.
Exactly.
And the repercussions that will be felt if they repeal the law, especially without a replacement plan in place.
I'm sure you probably, you know, heard a lot of personal stories. And last night I had some people share it publicly, some people privately messaged me and told me stories of, you know, this is how the ACA has saved my life or saved a family or friend's life, or several people. And sadly, I also heard stories of people that, you know, pre-ACA and, you know, telling me stories about, you know, people having serious heart conditions and other, you know, really major issues and not able to afford medication, not able to get the proper help, and they just died.
And that
is a damn shame that our government will allow that to happen. You know, and what's really funny to me is how, you know, all the things Obama was going to do that he has yet to do, and he has less than 2 weeks to do it. My mom was one of those people, you know, you and I have laughed about this, that, you know, she believed in that whole death panel bullshit. And, you know, she was rambling on about Hillary losing, and she knew it was pissing me off at Christmas. And I just looked at her dead in the eye, and I said, "Hey, have you made your death panel appointment yet? You got to the 20th. And I shut her up very quick. It was not a pleasant Christmas, to say the least, because my parents and I are the extreme polar opposite on politics. You know, but it's sad that, you know, the GOP were the people putting out those, you know, false rumors, false news about, oh, Obama, yeah, there's going to be the death panel. I mean, that's all people talked about in the beginning of the ACA. And I don't like calling it Obamacare. I mean, you know, when have we called bills by the president? It's like they used it for a nasty way.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like. I think a lot of people termed it positively, but the name of the law is you know, ACA. And so I am, you know, appalled that this group of people that talk about death panels, that is absolutely fucking irresponsible, but yet they are not going to do anything for, you know, people are going to go back to dying because they can't afford medications anymore. They can't afford the care if they indeed get rid of the ACA, bottom line. And, you know, you want to give out bullshit information. And it's deplorable. A whole basket of them. And, you know, I too benefit from the ACA. Now, I don't qualify, you know, like for financial assistance, but, you know, I'm self-employed. And before the ACA, I would have had to go through, you know, like a private broker. And, I mean, I know people who had, you know, self-employment insurance that before the ACA were paying $800-$900. Yeah, people my age, I mean, at the time, still pretty young. And they were paying, you know, $800-$900. And then I knew older people that were paying, like, $1,000 each month. And that's insane. That is absolutely just insanity. And I pay, you know, about half that now. I mean, it's something I can afford with my business for me. And it's, you know, it has helped me. I can't afford, you know, if it doubles. I mean, I'm going to have to find some low budget, like just in a crisis type of insurance. And I don't want to do that because that will not help my health, you know, and I know you're the same way. And it just, you know, we're better than this. Well, some of us Americans are.
I got rejected left and right before the ACA was passed and implemented because of pre-existing conditions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And once that law went into effect, they couldn't do that anymore. And, I mean, right. I'm not alone in that regard. I know there's got to be millions of people out there with the same sort of type issue when it comes to health insurance. They were rejected because of conditions they couldn't control. And I just think that's wrong on every level that you can think of. And
right.
The ACA, I mean, I would have gone bankrupt, or I wouldn't be here anymore if it weren't for the ACA. I had some serious health issues in late 2015, early 2016, and without the ACA, I might either be dead or living on the street somewhere. And again, I know I'm not alone there. I know there are likely thousands of other people in the same boat.
Yep. I mean, you know, with this issue that happened with my elbow. If I didn't have good insurance or just decent insurance, we could easily have gone into major debt. And, you know, while I feel my wife and I have our needs met, you never know. You know, somebody in the family gets cancer. Somebody has a major accident. I mean, people look at six-figure bills, and who can pay that? Well, what normal person can pay that, you know? And it's just not right that people lose, you know. I mean, I've heard so many stories of, like you said, people going, you know, becoming homeless because all they wanted to do was stay alive. And that's no way of living. That's not being alive.
In so many other industrialized countries, they kind of look at our healthcare system. They have a hard time understanding us and our mentality, our system, and it just, because, I mean, it's just a part of their life, part of their culture to have universal health care, to an increase in taxes for necessities of life, including health insurance. And they look over here and think, wow, you pay how much for health care? And some of you don't even have it, and you don't have universal health care? How can this be? And it seems like a lot of people in this country, we kind of like to have the individualist mindset where we want to believe that we're fully in control of our own lives and we're not dependent on anyone or anything else, and kind of this John Wayne mentality.
Yeah.
And it's not healthy, first of all. And do that, I mean, it's dangerous both short and long term to have that kind of mentality. And I really wish that we could find a way to discuss the matter in a civilized fashion and actually pass some common sense adjustments to the law to even improve it, perhaps add a public option or something of like that. But, I mean, the GOP, I mean, for 7+ years, almost 8 years now, they've been talking about, oh, let's make Obama a failed president. Then after the ACA was passed, let's repeal and replace it. But they've never come up with a backup plan. It's just, let's repeal and replace it. That's it.
What are you going to do with all those people that are going to lose their insurance?
Yeah.
There is no plan. No plan at all.
The uninsured rate has gone down from 14.6% to 8.6% since the ACA was passed. And they like to blame Obama, what they call Obamacare, for premium price increases. But while the prices have increased, we have to, again, stand back and look at the whole picture, because before the ACA was put into effect, between the years of 2001 and 2006, premium price increases on average were raised 63% annually.
Mm-hmm.
And from 2006 to 2011, those prices increased on average 31% annually. And after the ACA was put into effect, again, the prices have increased, but less, 20%, compared to 31% and 63%, respectively. And so,
right.
I mean, it's ridiculous to lay all the blame on the Affordable Care Act for these price increases and not to see the bigger picture that price increases have actually gone down since it was implemented.
Right, and Craig and I both read this article in LA Times, and I think you're referring to some of the information that was in that. And, you know, I just reposted it. I don't know if you want to touch on it. It gives some, you know, it's actually really, you know, real news, not this fake BS that we're hearing from the GOP in regards to the ACA. And it shows you how the uninsured rate, you know, it's fallen under 10% now. And that's amazing. But then, you know, it gives a lot of charts that, you know, I just posted it. So if you, I don't know if we have time to really discuss it a lot, but I mean, take a look at, you know, the real statistics of the ACA. You know, for they give you, you know, those years, but 2010 compared to 2010 when it was passed to current day. But I'm sure you probably want to touch base on it too. I want to give you time, Craig.
Well, I've already touched base in a couple areas. I mean, it also there's seven charts listed in the LA Times article, and I touched on two of them, and it also showed that amongst certain demographics, particularly minorities and young people, the uninsured rate's gone down fairly dramatically for these demographics as well since the ACA was passed. And as far as prescriptions go, what was that chart? It showed that percentage of the of people's payments have decreased since the ACA was passed, as far as prescriptions, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two or three other charts as well. But I mean, there's a lot that the author goes into detail about in this article, and he just basically showcases the myth that the GOP likes to claim on a regular basis that the Affordable Care Act is a failure, which it's not. It's not a perfect law, of course, but it's a definite improvement upon our health care law from previous years. And while there could be some adjustments, improvements made to the law, I guess you could say it would be highly irresponsible to repeal the entire law, and it's especially without a backup plan. I mean, these are people's lives we're talking about here. 20 plus million people who have been afforded health insurance because of the Affordable Care Act, and without a backup law in place, I mean, it's just mind-boggling to me that any group of people, no matter how twisted they might be in the morality, how they could possibly do that.
Yep. Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, I said it several times last night because, you know, a lot of people are seriously fired up about this issue. And I think people can tell that, you know, we are definitely. I mean, I know my excitable voice is coming out. So, you know, it's a matter, you know, people were asking me last night, and I just said, you know, it's a matter of, it just comes down to good ethics, good principles, good morals versus none of those things. And that is what you get from the left to the right. You have people who want to do the right things versus people who don't want to do the right things. People who think
everyone is treated equally
versus people who think they're better than others.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
But a lot of people have a mentality, well, if it doesn't happen to me, then it doesn't affect me. But that's wrong. And you can't think like that. I mean, because no matter if you want to believe it or not, it could happen to you. If person A is rejected for the health insurance because of some condition, you might not have a condition today, but who's to say you're not going to have the condition in 5 or 10, 50 years, and then it will impact your life. So, I mean, we can't keep thinking selfishly like that, all thinking narcissistically, like everything revolves around us. We have to try and empathize with others and see the direct or indirect impact it can have on us and those who care about.
And that is the difference between left and right again. Now, I'm not saying every progressive, every Democrat, every liberal, whatever you want to call them, you know, congressperson is not on the take somehow. I mean, every single one of them are bald. We all know that. That's, you know, we could have a show on term limits one day, but today's not that. But, you know, it is so vital that we, you know, vote for people who are truly going to be of the people. You are not there to represent yourself. You are there to represent your constituents. And that is where especially the old timers forget about us. It, like you said, it's like, you know, well, you know, I've got all this money from the NRA, the pharmaceutical companies, you know, you name it. I can live high on the hog. I don't have to worry about it. Well, guess what? You know, 99% of your constituents that you represent are not like that. And somehow that has just keeps decreasing more and more and more with each year with our Congress. And I'm scared to death to see what's going to happen with the Supreme Court. I can't bring my mind to even attempt to think about it right now, to be honest with you.
And sure, what Mitch McConnell said today, he said that the American people will not stand for Democrats to block Supreme Court justices. And I'm thinking to myself, you got to be freaking kidding me. You guys have been doing that for how long? Ever since Scalia passed away? President Obama nominated Merrick Garland, and they didn't even allow it for a vote to occur, but he's going to come back and say, oh, yeah, the American people are not going to stand for this once we're in power. Okay.
Mitch McConnell was the first one to stand up. He was the first one to stand up and say, it's an election year. We shouldn't be getting new Supreme Court justices.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm fired up today, guys.
And even early in Obama's tenure, his first term, McConnell is one of the lead spokespeople saying, oh, it's our number one goal to make Obama a one-term president.
Yep.
So he really has no leg to stand on when it comes to this hypothetical criticism of the Democratic Party.
I've heard him. He's been saying some of these things, and that's just sanity right there with the Supreme Court. You know.
I had to double check, make sure it wasn't the Onion.
You stood in the way almost a year, you jackass.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm fired up. Hey, we've got
a lot of the GOP, they said, oh, it's just nothing but praise from Merrick Garland, though he's a non-biased, intelligent, trustworthy individual, but yet at the same time, well, we're not going to allow a vote for the guy because, well, Obama.
Right, right. But before, I mean, we still have a few more minutes, but I want to give all those numbers out again, and they are posted right now to our profile. But I do want you guys to know that the two numbers we've been giving out mainly are Big Orion's DC office, 202-225-0600. If you don't want to listen to the bullshit, and trust me, you don't, just hit 2 and then hit 1. And that 2 is the question about do you support the ACA, and 1 is yes. Just hit 2 and then press 1. His Janesville, his hometown office in Wisconsin, that phone number is 608-752-4050. 608-752-4050. And a lot of people were I don't think some people knew that it was an actual survey and kept saying, the mailbox is full, the mailbox is full. Just respond to the survey. If the mailbox is full, which it's going to be, because Speaker Ryan doesn't really want to hear from us. And I do want people to know, I've emailed, and I know that won't get a response, but I have actually sent out this morning a letter that is certified, and they must sign for it at Speaker Ryan's office in D.C., requesting the results of the survey. And not necessarily the phone numbers, but I want to know how they came to their numbers. Because, I mean, I hate to say it, I'm sure they're going to try to twist it. And I want to know. I want the final outcome of those, and I want it explained to me. I will call his office every single freaking day to say, hey, are you getting me my results? As soon as that survey's over, a lot of people have also said, hey, he's already done one of these. Yes, he did do one of these surveys, and that was back in, when they tried to overturn it the first time, and the president vetoed it, and then they didn't have enough people to override the veto. This is a new one. So everybody knows this is a brand new survey because, new year, new session. This is one of the top priorities for them is to strip us of our insurance. That is, just some information that, you guys may want to see and, definitely don't let it, stop you from, contacting him. We got about a minute left. What would you like to say, Mr. Craig?
Hands off my insurance. There we go.
That's right.
Drop the mic.
That's right. Boom. Mic dropped. Yeah, just everybody, prepare for the next 4 years. We've got to fight. We weren't really going to talk about New Year's resolutions per se, but just things, we want to see in the new year, and we can talk about that the next time, Craig. But I think I can speak for both of us that we are. I know I can, and say that we are committed to all of you, to bring you the real news, not the mainstream media bullshit. We are going to do our research. I mean, Craig is the best research guy in the business. in my opinion. And, you know, he gets it done. I mean, I try to do it, but I don't know. You have a superpower of checking everything. And he'll have answers.
Yeah, so I started fact checking when I was 2 or 3, I think.
It's crazy. I love it. you know, so, but I know that we want to continue to bring you, I was going to say bigger and better, but I think that's what Fox says, so I'm not going to say that. We're going to bring you larger and awesomer. That's not a word.
Yeah.
But
we'll work on that.
This year. And yeah, I was about to say that. I'm like, doesn't Fox say that? So we'll let you know. I know we've had to break away from our schedule because of the injury I sustained, but
in the holidays,
we still are trying to, in the holidays, and it's the, you know, we're going to get back on our normal track. But you know, thank you for bearing with us and still continuing to listen to us. We care about you guys so much. You know, you guys say, you know, all the nicest things in the world to us, and you know how we've changed your lives and you've changed ours. I'm blown away with the love we get from you guys, and we love you right back. And would you like to say anything, Craig, before I sign us off?
Amen. We love you, and let's keep fighting together.
Yep. Get ready. Put your boots on. It's time to start a revolution and resist. Resist Donald Trump. Ugh, can't even stand saying the man's name. anyway.
Me either.
You guys have a good day. Tomorrow, I'm getting back on track with the Friday. I came up with this name. It's so damn cheesy, the Rainbow Connection. You know, we had tried a couple of hosts, but now I'm just going to be using guest host on the show. And I really did think about using Kermit singing the Rainbow Connection for the opening number, but I can't do that to people. It is a show that is geared towards the LGBTQ community, but it is not exclusive to. I mean, we want to be inclusive to everybody. If you care about LGBTQ people, join us. It's great. We will be on the air tomorrow from 4 to 6 Eastern Time. I will be pinning that to my profile shortly, so you'll have the information. And thanks again, everybody. Craig, have a good day.
You too. Good weekend.
All right. You too. Take care, everybody. Be good to yourself.